I didn't think I was going to be called, and I didn't think I was going to be nervous. And now, whoop, all of a sudden, I'm a little bit nervous, but that's okay.
Girl, it's just me.
I know. And it's just me.
That's
It's all
right.
good.
What you
I just
got?
have to.
That's right.
So,
Take it. Let's do this. Let's everybody practice. Okay. All right. This is something I do with my private clients sometimes when they come in and they're nervous. Everybody take a deep breath in. Hold it at the top and a nice long breath out. Come on, Amanda. Want to do another one? Or are you good?
I'm good.
All right. Sometimes we
Okay.
do that as many as three times, y'all, and it really helps take the temperature down
I
and helps you
actually do
feel
that breath work a lot.
better. Yeah.
I was a massage therapist for like 30 years, so
Oh,
clearly
girl, I need you
I've
to
done
come
a
to my
lot of that.
house.
Well, unfortunately, that also caused this, which is
Oh.
I just recently had surgery to remove a bone in my hand because of severe osteoarthritis from all of the intense work that I've done, loss of all my cartilage. I had this
Oh, bless your
complicated
heart.
surgery. And I have, so this is part of why I'm calling.
Okay.
Anyway, okay, I was afraid that I would forget. So I made a little list of what I'm thinking about so I could stay on track.
Perfect. All right.
All right, just some very quick background. I've been in an OBS for probably, well, I'm not sure, 4 or 5 years, a long time, a long time to me. I'm still 100 pounds, more than 100 pounds less than my heaviest, but that was a very long time ago. From then until now, which has been about 30 years since I got to lost that first 100 pounds, I had gone up and down and up and down by 50 pounds for, years. And then about 8 years ago, I got down to, well, I guess basically to about where I am right now. And I maintained. And then I joined an OBS and I lost down to 142. I was 289. That was my heaviest. And I got down to 142 and I swore I was never going to go over 150 again. Of course, And I did pretty well with that. And then I ruptured my ankle and had surgery, and I couldn't do my exercise, which I loved. And I gained some weight back. And then I started feeling kind of better and doing stuff again. But then I was up and I'm like, okay, I'm not going over 160, So and then I raised that and I was like, what the hell? Okay, I'm still okay. I'm in control. When I get, I'm retired. I live in Costa Rica. I live in a beautiful paradise and I'm so grateful. And I, during, from when I started the 7 years of being down at a maintenance or a lower weight, I re-engaged with a man that I had dated when I was like in my 20s, and we ended up getting married and moving to Costa Rica, building a house. And so it's kind of a whole crazy thing. So most of my life I haven't had very much financially wise. I've struggled, raised my daughter on my own, blah, blah, blah. He had money, has money. I still have an issue with that personally, just because I don't really know how to be taken care of because I've always been the caretaker. That's okay. I can kind of deal with that. I've been dealing with it. Now, my current issue is I had to have this surgery. I couldn't have it in Costa Rica because they don't take Medicare there. I came here and got my surgery, but I've been here without my husband, staying at my brother's house since the end of March. Is that right? Yeah, since the end of March. And I have to be here still for another month. I feel like since I've been gone, I'm like, I've just been out of control. I mean, I know that's just me. I have the control, but I'm not controlling myself. I've been binging. I haven't done that for so long. I'm now up to about 180, and I'm like, oh my God, I am freaking 40 pounds heavier than my lowest, and what is wrong with me? And I literally can't figure it out. And I've been writing about it. I've been thinking about it. I've been talking about it. My brother's kind of, he's my best friend, but he's very much like, well, it's in your control. It's your choice. You eat what you want. You know, and so he's just very dry about it. Like, he doesn't get into the emotions of things. When I'm bored, and I'm staying in, it's a 250 square foot studio apartment with two people, grown big people. So it's tight. Mm-hmm. And it actually used to be where I lived before I moved to Costa Rica. Now he lives here. So I do feel at home, although it's tight. But I'm bored. You know, I don't have space to do a lot of the things that I would normally do. I can't do art, which is something I do as a helper because of my hand. I can't draw. I can't hold a pencil very well. I can't do massage anymore. When I married my husband, massage was really important to our relationship because he also did massage. And so we would trade. And now I haven't been able to do that for a long time. I know I'm putting a bunch out. I'm just trying to block it. And then we can talk about what you think is important. Mm-hmm. I also feel like sexually disinterested completely, which never was an issue. But in the last couple of years, since my surgery on my ankle, I've been feeling completely cut off from my sexuality. I don't want to be touched. I don't feel intimate with him at all. And I think that's part of my problem, my part of my challenge that I'm working with. Being gone for 2 months now, and I met possibly another, you know, another month. I miss my dogs. I miss my house. I don't really miss my husband. And I feel guilty about that. You know, I mean, now he's a very needy, he does not like to be alone. I like to be alone a lot. So we do also have that. So for me, this is like, okay, I can just breathe and not have to take care of him. Mm-hmm. But I just feel so tired. And I feel so much like lost. I feel fucking lost. Like, I don't know how to find my way back to myself. I feel like I'm never, I don't like to use the words never and always, but I feel like I'm going to have such a difficult time to find the place where I was feeling strong. I was going to the gym every day, or at least 3 times or 4 times a week. And then I have a pool at home, so I would be swimming. I was active. I don't know. And then I think, okay, instead of eating, I'll just have a drink. But then once I have a drink, then I want to eat more. So then I'm like, okay, so now I should quit drinking alcohol. So now what? Now I got to quit alcohol and I got to quit eating and I'm bored and I can't do art. What the fuck am I supposed to do?
Yeah. It's no wonder you're binging.
So then I'm sorry, what?
It's no wonder you're binging.
Yeah.
You need relief from all of that talking, relief from all of that. Boredom and distress and uncertainty, right?
Yeah, I feel
and
crazy.
The way you're giving that to yourself is with binging. Here's one thing I really noticed as you were talking, and y'all tell me if the chat and you, in the chat if you noticed it too. She's very, very focused on the problems, but not real focused on the solutions.
Well, that's why I'm talking to you.
Right. And this is very similar. Yeah. Oh, look, some thumbs up. This is very similar to what we were talking to other people about, the chronic pain person, for instance. Yeah. When you are focused on everything that's going wrong, you're just pulling yourself further and further into that mindset.
Well, I do have to say in response to that, that like I said, I wrote a little list of things and I just kind of blurted them all out. Mm-hmm. I wasn't being very like focused mm-hmm. on what I've been trying to do or my goals or, you know, this or that. I was focused on saying, this is my shit. Tell me what to do. I feel like I do focus on what can I do a lot. Like, I know I love to exercise, but am I exercising? I haven't been, and I don't know why. My brother said, oh yeah, we can walk together. We did that like twice. And then he's like, oh, I don't want to. He's also very big. And so
why do you need your brother to walk with you?
Because I don't know, because I'm crazy.
No. You're not crazy. No. You're not crazy. You're pretty much stuck in a loop is where you're stuck. You're stuck in this loop of all these things that I have to work on that are going wrong, that I can't do anymore, that rather than seeing, Okay, what is one small step I can make that helps me kind of get out of that loop for a minute? And right now, what your brain is offering you as this one stop small step to get out of the loop is to eat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know, you
then I think, am I eating because I'm now that I don't miss my husband and I'm feeling guilty, maybe I'm trying to like gain weight and get fatter so that I can test whether his commitment is there.
No.
I don't know what
you're
the
eating
hell I'm
to
doing.
No, you're eating to avoid emotion. And emotion is created with this guilt that you have is created by what you're thinking. So you're eating to hide from that. Okay. That's the only thing that's, I mean, it's that simple. Sometimes when we are so hard on ourselves, it's, you know how I was talking about in the last call, I was talking about the threats, perceived threat versus a real threat. We have created an unsafe place for ourselves in our minds when we start beating ourselves up to that extent. And when we don't feel safe, even inside of ourselves, inside of our thoughts, we do what we can to fix it, to fix that feeling of safety or lack of safety. And what you're doing is you're eating to fix the feeling of lack of safety that you're creating with all of this. What's wrong with me? I don't want, I'm not interested in sex. I'm bored. I can't exercise. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm broken. That's what you're fixing with the eating, is that internal dialogue in which you have created a place for yourself that doesn't feel good. That doesn't
feel
safe.
And I hear that, but I don't feel broken. I know I'm strong. I'm one of the strongest people I know. I've been through incredible trauma in my life and I've come through it really well.
Yeah. And that's the conversation that needs to come out when you're over here going, yeah, but this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. It's almost like we're closing another loop, right?
Yeah.
When you stay in that loop of everything that's wrong, you have to add in, but you know what? I'm resilient.
Very.
I have figured stuff out like nobody's business. And I bet I can figure this out too. But when
I
you
figured
stop
it out,
telling,
now I lost it. That's what's making me crazy.
No, you didn't lose it. It's still in there. You're just telling yourself you lost it. Did you lose your resilience?
No.
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 Tell me why you didn't lose your resilience. Because you're on this call. Because you worked on getting your hand fixed. Because you're living in a 250 square foot apartment with two other adults. Right? I really don't think you've lost your resilience. I think you've just been stuck in the loop of all the problems because you're not comfortable.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable at all.
Right.
I'm not comfortable even in Costa Rica, where I love that place, and I don't know how to be me. I feel like I've lost myself. My husband and I got together. We swooshed off to Costa Rica, and it was like a fantasy. And then it's like, yeah, but I left my friends. I left my brother. I left, and I don't have, like, what do I have to replace it with? I mean, I have this beautiful place with these beautiful flowers and beautiful trees and a swimming pool and a pretty house, but where's me? Like, I'm not in there. I don't.
So tell me about you. When you're in Costa Rica, and what's your husband's name?
David.
With David. When you're in Costa Rica, surrounded by the beautiful flowers and the beautiful things, and you're with David, who are you?
Alone.
No, who? Not. Don't describe yourself. I mean, don't tell me what you're feeling. Tell me who you are. You're a wife, right?
I'm a wife. I'm a caretaker. Mm-hmm. I'm a frustrated woman who has a sloppy husband who wants her life to be neat. I'm a frustrated wife who wants to have affection that's not linked to sexuality, which isn't happening. It's like, I don't feel, he cares for me by helping me with my health, which is great because I never could afford it before. You know, he fixed my tooth, he pays for my ankle, he pays for my hand, but I just want him to like stroke my back without him getting a hard on, without having to be rude about it. But you know, I just feel like he's freaking almost 70 years old. Aren't they supposed to stop wanting it?
So you're a woman he loves and desires.
I know, but I just can't.
But you don't, I mean, but see, he sees so much in you that he cares for you. He loves you. He desires you. But you don't feel that for yourself. So sometimes, I mean, girl, I could tell you stories. Early days when I was coaching, I had no self-confidence, no self-image. I had to lean on what Corinne would tell me I did right to go, okay, I must be okay. I got a paycheck. Sometimes we have to borrow from others and practice those beliefs. So if David loves you and cares for you,
he does,
right?
I don't do that at all.
That means you're lovable and someone cares about. I don't know what that word might be. Careable.
Yeah. Well, he also, I, a lot of times I do question, I know that he feels that he believes that he is truly in love with me. And I'm not saying that's not so, but I'm also saying his needs are very succinct. He wants somebody to keep him company. He doesn't mm-hmm. like to be alone. Mm-hmm. He wants somebody who will cook him a nice meal. Of course, who doesn't, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like it's really, often I don't feel like it's me. I feel like it's a kind of a construct of what being together means to him. And that's what he wants and is in love with, you know?
Okay.
And that's...
And maybe it is, but maybe it's the construct, but it's you in the construct.
Right.
Because he so didn't, what I mean, he didn't marry
I,
just,
I want
he didn't marry Kathy.
I want to remodel.
Yeah. So have a conversation.
I've tried that. He says, I'm doing my best. Mm-hmm. That's like, I'm doing the best I can. And I'm like, okay. Well, but I don't know how to respond to that. Like, you can't tell someone to do better than their best. What am I supposed to, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, it's not about him. It's about me. And what am I? I'm an mm-hmm. artist that can't do art. I'm a massage therapist that can't do massage. I'm a cook that can't cook right now. I feel like everything that is the things that create who I am inside, not everything, but, you know, the physical things.
All right. So you're an artist. You're an artist and a cook who can't do art and can't cook right now.
Correct.
That doesn't mean you can't use your brain to plan or to find other ways to do art or to cook.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes when we're met, like I was a half marathoner. I was a runner. I have two new knees.
Crazy.
I can't. Right. Well, I really did. I was not very good at it, but I enjoyed it. But I'm not that person anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so how do I spend time outside moving my body? I walk or I hike.
Right.
Okay. So it's a subtle shift with love and care, not loss and longing. All right. So.
But there is also loss and longing. That's normal, isn't it?
Yes. But it doesn't run the show. All right. You might not be able to hold a paintbrush, a little tiny paintbrush and do fine detail work. But I bet you can get a big paintbrush, dip it in. And you know, who was it? What was that artist that did all that random paint splatter stuff? Dolly or somebody?
Jackson Pollock.
Pollock. Yeah. Jackson Pollock. So how can you tap into this creative artist nature of yours in new ways? So we're back to forward thinking rather than what I can't do, what is available to me? And if you put your energy there, you're more likely to find answers than you are if you're going, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. So when it comes to that aspect, even in your marriage, How can I do this in new ways? How can I talk to him in new ways? How can I reset expectations in new ways, my own and his? How can I be an artist in new ways? How can I cook in new ways? And maybe you can't cook, but I bet you could create a Pinterest board like a boss that has all the recipes that you want to try when you can.
Yeah. I do that. I send them to my WhatsApp. I have a whole bunch of them.
Oh my gosh. There's not that. You just got to be careful sometimes with the Pinterest recipes. Sometimes there's a step missing or not, something like that. Sometimes you got to be careful with them. That's what I think the core of this is. Probably even back down to the regain is how you talk to yourself about what's going on in the moment and how you can care for yourself and tap into those things that you love in new and different ways while you're healing, while you're away from home, when you're in this big, you know, little apartment with these other people.
Well, it's just me and my brother, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I know. And you're right. I do. I talk badly to myself often. I call myself an idiot constantly or fat slob and things that I know as soon as they come out of my mouth, I'm like, what the hell? You know, you don't talk to yourself like that. Why are you saying that? And I say,
yeah.
No,
so you're judging the fact that you're judging yourself.
Exactly.
Instead of going, oh, wait, I don't call myself that anymore from love. You fat slob. Oh, no. Sweet pea. We don't call ourselves a fat slob anymore. How would you talk to like a child, your daughter? And she was 4 years old. If she walked in and goes, Mama, I'm a fat slob. You'd go, oh, no, sweetie. You wouldn't go, we don't talk to ourselves that way. You'd be like, oh, no, sweetie. That's not a very nice term. You're actually beautiful. And I love you. That's the conversation that you have with yourself when you are stuck in this whirlwind of everything going wrong and all the problems. You know, Betsy, Coach Betsy talks about how she calls herself Bets. It's okay, Bets. I got you, Bets.
Yeah,
mine is Sweet Pea. I don't know.
Sunshine, and I should call myself that because he says, you're walking sunshine. You're always in such a good mood. You're so positive. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, you should see myself at home alone. That's not, that's my outer self, not my inner self.
So instead of journaling on what's wrong with me, I want you to start journaling on how can I activate sunshine today? Where will I find sunshine today? Okay. See how different that
in
feels?
Me?
Yeah. Where's my sunshine? Where am I going to pull in sunshine today? How am I going to make sure sunshine is available today? How about that one?
That's a good one. I like that.
So stop, y'all. If you ask yourselves what's wrong with me, you're going to find the answers. Stop asking that question. You already know. Start asking more meaningful questions that actually give you responses that help you move forward. Nobody needs to focus on the past. The only thing good that comes out of the past is a lesson.
It's an
opportunity to pivot, but not... It's never going to be helpful for you to go back in the past and go, I wish, or that should have happened, or whatever. Lizzie says the quality of your questions matters. Yes. And they always need to
find things that make me feel happy that are not food.
Mm-hmm. And that's the next step.
Because
things
right
that
now,
settle
like
you down,
food
that
is
comfort
the only
you.
Thing that fills me up, literally.
No, that's not true. Don't tell yourself that. Going for a walk fills you up. Standing outside fills you up, right? You told me that.
Yeah.
Going
Standing
for a walk feels
sun.
Good.
Being in the sun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When you say the only thing that fills me up is food, guess what? Guess what your brain hears?
Eat.
Exactly. But when you say, you know what? I know I want to eat right now, but I'm going to take a 10-minute walk in the sunshine and see how that urge handles that. See if the urge is still there.
Yeah, because you know what? And I keep saying, you got to stop this shit before you gain another like 8 pounds or you're going to be less than 100 pounds, less than your heaviest. And that's kind of like this giant flashing sign in my head. You know, I can't get up to 189 because 289 was my heaviest. I have to stay so that I can say I lost 100 pounds because that's like something I hold on to with a fierceness that I'm afraid if I lose that, it's all going to go to hell. And I need to, again, not like I just focus on that fear instead of like, okay, so let's make it easier. Let's make it a little bit of a bigger gap so you don't have to be so fearful.
Yeah.
It's like I'm testing myself. Like, can you just eat this and not gain weight? Could you just eat that? And I'm flipping myself out.
So the last feelings call I did, I talked about the duality of emotion. Okay, that's my term. I don't even know if it's a good term, but it means you can feel two things at one time. Okay, so you can feel the fear of gaining more weight, but you can also feel the determination of making sure you're caring for yourself. Just like feeling, you wouldn't feel grief if you didn't feel love. You can feel fear, and you can use the fear in productive ways. I don't want to have a heart attack. I don't, you know, I want to do everything I can to make sure I'm taking care of myself just in case.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward to going back home in a month. How can I care for myself now so that I'm ready? You know, all those kinds of things. The fear, we're not gonna make the fear go away, but what we can do is figure out how to use the fear and feel something else. Have the fear be there and feel something else too. Okay?
Okay.
So for you, this thought of, I don't want to gain any more weight, instead of being desperate to not gain weight, what if we're just determined? What if we're motivated? What if we're committed to not gaining more weight? When you're committed and motivated and determined, what you do in response to those feelings is going to be a whole lot better than if you are terrified or doubt or angry or resistant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way you get committed is you say, I am worth this work. I love me. I know who I am. I'm the person I want to be. And this is what I want to do. This is my next eating decision.
It's funny when you first said the way that you get committed, and I'm thinking is try to commit suicide. Then they commit you, and then they just give you food and you don't get any choice. That's the way. I'm like, my brain is not working correctly these days. It's really not. I need to stop like being like this.
What you need to do is ground. What you need to do is settle your nervous system so thinking brain comes back. Yeah. Because
feel like all out of control.
Yeah. So let's breathe again. Okay. Deep, nice and deep, Amanda. Nice and deep. Blow it all. Yeah. Long out. Even if you hum as you breathe out, y'all, it's gonna activate your vagus nerve and your rest and digest. Okay. So deep in, hold for a minute and long out. Okay. Just try and keep yourself, because when you're calmer, your brain is not pinging on the problems as hard, is it?
Right.
It's more rational. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do have some anxiety disorder. I have Xanax. Maybe I should start taking that. Maybe that would help actually.
Yeah, probably. Because that's what I'm noticing in this call is when you start to get really wound up and really agitated and anxious, that's when all the problems start pinging.
Yeah.
Right? That's when you start telling me the litany of everything that's going wrong.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. When you come back down, you feel more calm, more reassured, more resilient.
I tend to barf out my emotions and then calm myself that way. My husband is like on our, if this was an emotional timeline, you know, like I live on the two edges and he lives right in the center. He doesn't go out. So we kind of balance each other.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's part of what you're missing. Connection is a strong piece. And when we find our person, when we find our partner, and we balance each other that way, trying to maintain that connection and balance can be difficult when we're apart. So that might be a good place for you to start. A, the meds will probably help you, right?
Yeah.
The future thinking will probably help you. And maybe you start just reestablishing some some meaningful connection with David between now and when you go back home. Because if he balances you out, then that's probably gonna help you come back down a little bit. Now, last question for me, okay? I want to make sure you're okay and you have all the support that you need.
Yeah, I'm there. Okay.
Medical support.
I've been here.
Emotional support.
I've been in this emotional place before. I'm very familiar with this terrible sense of being out of control. And my comment about suicide was not anything I'm actually thinking. So please don't think it is. It's
okay.
Just something
well,
been in the past.
But you know what? I would not be Kathy, who cares about you if I didn't ask?
I know. I understand that. I knew the minute I said it that it was going to be like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have said that. But the truth is I've been there in my past, and that's what happens. You know, you get taken care of by other people because you can't take care of yourself anymore. But I'm not at that point yet. Yeah. And I don't know.
And I can see, I mean, just in a few breaths, when I see your nervous system start to regulate a little bit, I can see that you have the resilience and you have more conscious thinking. I think that's going to be really, really key for you is you said you had anxiety meds.
Yeah.
I think I would take them. And once you stay closer to home base and once you're back in that home base area, you can actually be a whole lot more productive in how you think. And your brain isn't going to ping on problems. It's going to want to solve problems because that's what our brains do. That's why we have to close loops and answer questions, okay?
I'm just thinking now, like that medication, I tend not to take, I don't want to have to take meds. I'm like, well, I don't want to have to take meds to feel good. So the food, that's just the same thing. It's just, that is my meds.
Well, let me ask you this. If you had high blood pressure, would you take blood pressure medicine?
Probably, or maybe not.
Well, let me tell you something. I take two of them, okay? If you had cholesterol, would you take high cholesterol just to prevent a heart attack? Would you take a statin?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty healthy, so I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't like taking pills.
So if you have anxiety, why wouldn't you take anxiety meds?
Because they say that you can get addicted to Xanax, and I don't want to be addicted to anything.
Well, okay.
I'm addicted to food already.
That's a whole nother avenue we can go down. All right. But I think that's something for you to evaluate. You know, what are you using to help regulate your nervous system? And is it working? Does it need help? Are you able to do it on your own? Are you not? Who do you need to see? All that wraps up together when it comes to medication.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a promise to you.
Okay.
I'm going to make a promise to me.
All right.
You. I'm going to take my pill every day.
Okay.
And I'm going to walk every day for at least half an hour.
Okay.
Because that also calms me, and that brings me back to, I always feel better when I am exercising.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do, Amanda. Today is Sunday, May 4th.
Yes.
On Sunday, May 11th, I want you to email me at support and tell me how you did this week.
Okay.
With your nervous system regulation, medication, walking. Okay. Will you check back in with me? You promise?
I promise that I will. I got to put it on an alarm thing or write it down because I'm really bad at remembering stuff like that
All right. Then I'll make this promise to you. If I don't hear from you the 11th, I'll email you on the 12th.
Okay. And I will do my best to do it on the 11th. I'm writing it down on my napkin right now.
Perfect. Okay. Perfect.
Thank you.